urine and she talks.
Welcome to Panic Button, a weekly podcast where we explore environmental issues, where common thinking might be, so shouldn't we start thinking about hitting that panic button? I'm Matthew Halliday.
And I'm Michael Linayesa, and this is Panic Button.
My name is Aaron, and she talks.
This week, water. It's everywhere and yet nowhere. What's going on in Colorado, a state where recreational marijuana use was legalized before collecting water in a bucket? We're going to explore how that was possible, what changed, and what the future might look like.
Hey, this is Drew.
Hey, Drew. It's Matt Halliday.
Hey, Matt. What's going on?
That's Drew Beckwith. Drew is a water policy manager at Western Resource Advocates.
We call Drew to see what's up with water here, who owns it, and what's the deal with Colorado water law.
People often call Colorado's doctrine of prior appropriation the first in time, first in right. And I think that's a bit of a misnomer because water rights in Colorado and many of the western states, the water right is a private property right, but it's not a ownership of the molecules of water.
Matt, this really clears it up for me. I couldn't grasp how someone could own molecules of water falling from the sky. It just didn't make sense to me, but I see now it's not an issue of owning hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah, that's a good point, Michael. That's kind of the impression I had. And that makes me wonder why the rain barrel took so long to get passed as a legal tool for water users here. So quick backstory on House Bill 1005, Residential Precipitation Collection, was a bill that was passed in the summer of 2016 after previously failed efforts. The bill really says that two rain barrels with a combined storage capacity of 110 gallons or less can be used in single-family or multifamily residences with four or fewer units. Essentially, this bill is finally a way for the state of Colorado, the last state to allow legal rain collection, to give residents a chance to use non-potable water for non-potable water end uses.
We, in the running of this bill, were under no, we were not thinking that this was going to save a bunch of water physically. You know, that fundamentally was not the point of this bill. You know, I think the larger issue here is that Colorado, we're going to double in population. We have climate change. We're going to have some really serious water challenges to deal with. And we are not going to be able to make those decisions in a good way unless the public is a little more connected to water.
We were curious to learn why the bill failed before and what changed this time. To dig deeper, we talked to Regan Wascom, director of the Colorado Water Institute here at CSU.
That harvesting rainwater without a water right is taking water out of priority that belongs to somebody else downstream. And Colorado has a long tradition of fighting for the doctrine of prior appropriation.
You know, there's been a lot of talk this year about rain barrels and rain harvesting.
Yeah.
That was Republican Senator Jerry Sonnenberg, one of the bill's biggest critics.
Here's Drew again.
We were weary of bringing the bill back again, Conservation Colorado and Western Resource Advocates, because Jerry Sonnenberg was still in the same position. We're like, oh God, this is just going to, we're like going to beat our heads against the wall trying to get this passed. But the two prime legislators that ran this bill, Josie Danielson and Danaya Esgar, was literally the only thing that they heard about from their constituents.
Matt and I weren't convinced this was enough. We dug deeper.
Colorado State University, actually Water Center, did a study showing that stormwater impacts, there is no difference in the stormwater runoff between a home that has rain barrels and one.
Yeah, Reagan actually told us that they actually kind of like refuted that as a legitimate study. Like they were like, okay, good, but we don't believe it still.
It was bizarre and like, all right, here's the science, folks. And they're like, no, you're wrong.
Here's Reagan talking about that study Drew mentioned.
What happened was CSU was asked by the interim committee to bring forward an analysis of whether rainwater capture would injure those downstream water rights, and basically came to the conclusion that you would never be able to detect the impact from rainwater harvesting. It was out in the decimal places.
So we've got this cool bill that passed, and the will of the public seems to be changing, but Michael and I wondered, is this enough? What does the future look like in our state? Whose problem is this going to be to solve?
You think 15, 20 years? years ago, Colorado was reliably a red state. People are coming here for the amenities and the natural resources and the, you know, as I said, the brand of Colorado being an outdoor playground. Those kinds of people that are more interested in the outdoor playground are a little bit more, or perhaps a different perspective on, you know, whether or not water should remain in a river, or if we should be able to take all of the water out of a river and dry it up. For those kinds of people that are enjoying the natural outdoors, that's just not something that they think is okay anymore.
Two rivers that were here before there was a city here still come together. One is a mountain river flowing into the prairie. One is a prairie river flowing toward the mountains, but feeling them and turning back the way some of the people who came here did.
That's my niece Ayla. She loves water, so I asked her to read the poem Two Rivers by Colorado poet Thomas Hornsby Farrell. The poem tells the story of a simpler time, when the sight of water was a much welcome thing by settlers wagoning west, and an invitation to place roots and homes near its sources. The story is more complicated today, as more people pursue livelihoods where there is limited or even no water, but the premise of the poem, and how water came to be here, is an important part of the narrative of what we see and know here today. And that's the story that will continue to be told.
Thanks for listening. Next time on Panic Button, CLTL braces for Synergy Week 3.